kind enough to take your seats and make sure all of your electronic devices are on silence, please. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you would be kind enough to take your seats, we'll begin our welcome ceremony very shortly. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would be kind enough to take your seats, we'd like to begin our program. Once again, please take your seats. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Board Chair ICANN, Dr. Stephen Crocker.
What a pleasure. It's great to be back here. It was about a year and a half ago we were here for ICANN 48, and I think it's great to be back here, actually, because I haven't seen much except the inside of this hotel. And I also need to have a discussion about why we schedule our meetings in the dead of winter. I want to afford a special welcome this morning to all of our stakeholders, along with all the regional internet registries, our sister internet organizations, we call them iStars, and other distinguished guests. It would be an extreme understatement to say this is an important time for ICANN and for the future of the internet. At its root, no pun intended, ICANN is a technical coordination body. And that's not very sexy. It's important. Our dedicated community of volunteers toil hundreds of hours and only occasionally gain the attention of the world at large. By way of example, look at the work being done in facilitating the global dialogue around what we simply call the transition. The issue has focused the attention of the world on us and the work of the global stakeholders involved in this effort. But what are we really talking about here? What is this thing that we call the transition? And why has it captivated the attention of so many? No, that's not quite the transition that I'm referring to. I'm only referring to the IANA stewardship transition. Yeah, now I'm back in my comfort zone. I know what you were all thinking. You were thinking this is about to be the most interesting ICANN ever. All right. Since the U.S. government announced last year its desire to transition the stewardship of the IANA technical functions over to the global stakeholders, there have been, brace yourself here for numbers, there have been more than 280 events around the world focused on the transition. The major working groups have spent almost 450 hours in 250 meetings and teleconferences. They have reviewed almost 20,000 messages on exchange lists. And to bring it down to the personal, Lisa Fuhrer just told me she spent more time with Jonathan Robinson than her husband. It's not an exaggeration to say that the efforts have been Herculean, and to all involved, please know that your efforts are recognized, appreciated, and extremely important. This will be one of the high points in the life of ICANN and the life of the internet, and indeed in each of our lives personally. So on behalf of myself and on behalf of the entire board, please join us in simply saying thank you. As you well know, the transition proposal that will be submitted to the U.S. government is not yet a done deal. There will be multiple opportunities to engage in the dialogue about the transition throughout the week, and I hope you seize those opportunities. A byproduct of the transition discussions has been the development of a parallel effort to increase ICANN's accountability. This is something the board is fully focused on, and again, there will be numerous sessions revolving around that subject throughout the week. And I want to emphasize something that I've said a few times before. Despite some appearances to the contrary, the board is actually extremely supportive and attentive. We view it as very much a shared goal to have ICANN be as responsible and as accountable as possible. And that is the fundamental reason that we serve on the board. And so we're 100% supportive and aligned with that goal. The stewardship transition and accountability are not the only subjects we focus on. Operational excellence has to be a primary consideration, and it is. It's a ever-evolving situation. We're never reaching perfection. So although we view it kind of as a destination, we're always on our way there as opposed to having achieved it. We care very much about it. Our CEO has made it a top priority. And in the end, we will be judged on how well we perform, not just how visible we are, how accountable we are. If we don't get the job done, none of the rest matters. And that's really something that we do, in fact, keep in mind amidst all of the political dialogue that surrounds us. One of our key programs, of course, is the new GTLD program. It's progressed pretty well. So far, more than 650 new top-level domains have been delegated to the root, and more are being brought online each week. The program's been successful, but in line with my prior comments, there's always room for improvement. And we're beginning now to look very closely at what worked, what didn't work, what can be improved before we open another window for the future round. A side activity or effect of the GTLD program has been the acquisition of some funds from the auctions that have been held and a few more yet to come. These auctions, from our point of view, were auctions of last resort for contentions that weren't resolved elsewhere. We've accumulated now, I believe, around $58 million, and as I said, there'll be some more to come, not clear how much. We're beginning to engage with the community as to how those funds will be spent or disposed of, how they'll be used. I want to emphasize a point that I've made before. The money collected from those auctions will be disposition of them will be determined by you, by the community. From a board point of view, we made a point of carefully causing those funds to be segregated so that they're not commingled or mixed with the normal operating budget. And we are pointedly avoiding the natural opportunity to say, ooh, extra money, that will solve all of these other budget problems that we've had. So we stay quite far away from that. And this week there will be two sessions to begin the engagement of the community with this topic, one this afternoon and another one on Wednesday. And this will be the time to begin a very vigorous discussion about all that. So that's a quick touching base on main issues that we've been dealing with over ICANN 53. Let me also note that from the board perspective, we're concerned with long-range issues that affect ICANN and the community. We're concerned about long-term stability, and quite obviously one element of that is that we are going to go through a change of CEO over the next several months, over the course of the next year, roughly. From board point of view, one of our key jobs is to be ready for change because change is constant. And to be ready to make adjustments in whatever is necessary, in the guidance to the staff, in the messages to the community, in listening to what the changes are in the environment, and so forth. We know we're being scrutinized very heavily. It's fine. It's good. It's what we're here for. As I said at the beginning, I hope it's not an us versus you kind of activity. We are you. You're the ones that determine who sits on the board. None of us sit on the board indefinitely. There's a forcing function that causes us to go away. Even I will actually go away. It may shock me more than it shocks you, but anyway. So in that vein, let me say that tomorrow on what's called Constituency Day, the ward will be engaging representatives from each of the communities to talk about the issues that affect the particular community, and issues that are common across the communities will have a broad airing in the public forum on Thursday. So I mentioned the CEO succession. Obviously, that is big news and on everybody's mind. Fadi notified the board that he intends to step down following the ICANN 55 meeting in Morocco in next March in Marrakesh. So Fadi will be with us for the next 9 months, give or take. I'm not going to take a lot of time now to sing his praises, which are many. There'll be time enough to do that in Marrakesh. But at Fadi's request, what I will say is that between now and his departure in March, we will continue to work diligently on all of the pressing matters that lie ahead of us. Any of us who have had any contact at all with Fadi knows that it is simply not his style to take his foot off the accelerator and slow down. So I expect he will be every bit as vigorous, and we will try very hard to keep up with him. Fadi doesn't exactly lead. He inspires. And what he's inspired us all to do is to push ourselves to engage in a respectful and inclusive manner, and that's precisely what we will all be doing in the next 9 months. In terms of board actions, we have formed a search committee. George Sadowski, who chaired it very ably last time, has agreed to do it again, and we will have a meeting with the search committee and the community on Thursday afternoon just before the public forum. This is similar to what we did in Dakar in 2011, we're going to proceed with that. It's now my pleasure to introduce a man who helped make ICANN 53 possible, Gabriel Brenta, the Chief Executive Officer of Network Information Center for Argentina, or what we techies call NIC-AR, which, as many of you know, is our host in Buenos Aires. It's not an exaggeration to say that NIC-AR is at the heart of the internet in Argentina. Please welcome Gabriel Brenta.
Buenos días.
Добрый день всем. После презентации Стива.
I must say that I'm really moved. In February,
мы были в Сингапуре, и мы взяли несколько минут для того, чтобы пригласить их. Я не думал, что меня так серьезно все воспримут. Я благодарю всех за то, что пришли. Это много часов полета, конечно, для того, чтобы приехать в нашу прекрасную страну, в наш город. И для нас это большое удовольствие видеть всех вас.
You are really interested in spending time with us. I would like to take a few minutes to share with you some time and a story. Some years ago, we decided to make NIC-AR to go through a change, and that change was in line with the developments that were taking place all over the world, what our administration was doing in terms of domain names. And we wanted to reflect all those changes, all those improvements, all those developments in what we believe it has been our duty since then. So we started with this hard process. We were subject to a lot of criticism. In some cases, the comments were not very amicable. But anyway, we continued to work. We set up a team with exclusive responsibility of trying to make us become the point of reference, the benchmark in our country, because we are a state-run entity. We just wanted to be the sole reference point for internet, and we wanted to bring the multi-stakeholder approach in our own domain name structure. So we started listening to the demands of our users, more than 500 per day. So this meant a significant challenge for us and a huge individual effort of all the members of NIC-AR. And we move through that change process, and we change our platform. We eliminated this idea of gratuity or free services, and that we was like a spade on our shoulders, and we also try to confront cyber squatters that wanted to take control of the AR domains. And Argentina, Nick AR, continued to change. And we deepened our changes as part of our internal and external processes. As a result of those changes, we got certified with ISO 9001:2008 to show all our citizens that we were truly committed to change, and we wanted to bring more transparency to our internal processes. And we wanted to show an excellent level of management to the outside world. And we kept on changing. We changed our name resolution structure. We increased the hosts available for anyone who would like to surf through an AR site in order to move fast. We also were able to incorporate in our data center the L-Root mirror, and NIC continued to change, incorporating IPv6, not only from a technical structure standpoint, but also making it available for users in our countries to be able to make native delegations in their domain names. We tried to gradually increase the traffic generated in our offices through a native IPv6 in order to preach with our example. So let's use IPv6. This is necessary. Let's learn. Let's discuss it. It is a need, really, to implement it. And NIC continued to change. And last week, the technical team had the first NSSEC signing ceremony. I know that for many of you, this might be something that you do by default, but for us, it was a milestone because of all the individual efforts that were put into this. And we continue to change. Users asked us for help, for assistance with security terms in AR domains. They contacted us, and we established the first CSIRC for NIC Argentina with responsibility over all the users or all the entities that want to communicate with us. And in fact, all these things are achievements that we wanted to share with you, because you are also part of this change process. We tried to adapt all the learnings that we obtained from you. We have so many talks during the year with you, and we tried to see how we could adapt this to the natural character of NIC Argentina, how we could extend all these advantages to the cities in our countries. And this is what NIC Argentina is like today. ICANN has honored us hosting its a second meeting here in Buenos Aires in a period of 2 years. And this is a way of reactivating this initiative or stepping on the speed pedal and following FADI's leadership. We are really honored to have you all here. We are really happy with the work that we have been doing in NIC AR. We are thankful for all the support received from ICANN and all the regional organizations like LAC-TLD. And this is what we are like. We wanted to share it with you. We really want to extend our appreciation to all of you. And please enjoy all the talks that we will have during the week. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabriel. And let me share with the audience that I'm particularly pleased with the signing the DNSSEC signing of .AR. I've spent a very large fraction of my professional life working in network security, and particularly on the promulgation of DNSSEC. We keep a map of the countries that have signed or in various stages of signing. And these maps are displayed at the beginning of the DNSSEC session on Wednesday mornings at ICANN meetings. And a significant portion of the Latin American and Caribbean region now has changed color. So congratulations on that. And you're welcome to go to that session, although I'm sure there's many, many things competing for time. One of Fadi's many accomplishments since he's been at ICANN is to turn us into a truly global organization. He did that in part by establishing our presence around the globe. One of our first engagement centers he opened is the one in neighboring Uruguay. To talk a bit about our office in Montevideo and our activity throughout the region is Rodrigo de la Parra, our Vice President for Stakeholder Engagement in Latin America. Rodrigo?
Hello, good morning, everybody. I'm going to be speaking in Spanish, so if you want to wear your headsets, probably that's a good idea. Buenos dias.
Good morning, everyone. Our hosts have welcomed to Argentina, and I would like to welcome you all to our region of Latin America and the Caribbean. First, let me tell you that about 2 years ago, a group of Latin American and Caribbean colleagues met at an ICANN meeting, and our concern was the low level of engagement of stakeholders from our region in ICANN's processes and work methods. After the regional strategy was launched, we have initiated several projects to remediate this situation. In this meeting, we will not have one, two, or three sessions on Latin America and the Caribbean. We have a full program comprising more than 10 sessions, activities, spaces. We have a regional lounge where you can meet our sister organizations in the region and engage with them and be up to date on what's going on in our region. We are really proud of the achievements of our stakeholders on a regional scale. We are only halfway through, and we are able to change ICANN's image so far in the region. Now, about the physical presence in the region, let me tell you that we have 5 people working in different countries in the region: Bolivia, Uruguay, Mexico, Brazil, in Sao Paulo, St. Lucia, and we work very closely to our regional stakeholders. However, I believe that what is truly representative of our region is the mere existence of a physical space, a physical location that hosts many organizations that are concerned and interested in the development of the Internet on a regional scale. Thanks to LACNIC's vision and thanks to the willingness and cooperation of our sister organizations, we can have this space where we engage and work together and where we generate synergies. So welcome you to Latin America and the Caribbean, and welcome you to La Casa de Internet. La Casa de Internet of Latin America and the Caribbean hosts the main organizations that actively engage in Internet performance and operational matters, and who work to serve the development of the region and regional stakeholders. It is a place where people get together and are in constant synergy so that they can better engage and manage these resources. All the organizations are held in a same physical space, and this is an example to the world. We are an example to the region. And among the advantages, well, we go from simple aspects to more significant aspects. We have spaces that foster collaboration so we can interact with these organizations and we can work in order to achieve shared goals. Also, these meetings and these shared projects are far more effective because we work together in the same space. We have more than 40 staff members from Argentina, Belgium, Canada, Mexico, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Venezuela. They are used to serving the community in the four languages that are used in the region: English, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. The Internet House hosts LACNIC, the Internet Registries for Latin Organization for Latin America and the Caribbean. This is the organization that focuses on the development and stability of the Internet in the region. LACNIC's functions entail the administration of the numbering resources, the policies by which we manage and administer these resources are developed in a collaborative fashion. So anybody interested in these policies and mechanisms can engage. Any organization worldwide on a global scale can engage in the development of these policies. So this is one of the innovative aspects of our work. The participative process by which these policies are developed is open, transparent, public, bottom-up, consensus-based, and we engage in face-to-face meetings. So these processes are very, very interesting. The Internet Society is also present in the Casa de Internet or Internet House. This is an organization founded by the Internet pioneers or founding fathers to guarantee that everybody on a global scale can access the Internet. We work together with the academia, the private sector, the governments, in order to promote a better use of the Internet and to expand Internet use. The Latin American Cooperation Network of Advanced Networks, Red Clara, is also present in the Internet House. We want to foster, encourage the integration of the academia in this community, in the Latin American community, by supporting researchers in the region and by connecting these communities with communities in other continents. ICANN was founded in 1998. It's a public benefit, non-for-profit organization that guarantees the security, stability, and interoperability of the Internet. In order to contact somebody on the Internet, you need to type an address in your computer. It may be a name or a number. That address must be unique so that your computer can reach the other computer. ICANN coordinates these identifiers worldwide, and without this coordination, we wouldn't have Internet on a global scale. Being in Latin America is part of ICANN's internationalization structure. ICANN has decided not to wait for the other stakeholders to engage in this model. Rather, we are reaching out to them on a regional scale. We are really pleased, really excited, because we can engage and cooperate with all these organizations in the same physical space. We can share projects and experiences and work in great synergy towards the development of Latin America and the Caribbean. LACTLD is also in this physical space. This is the association that manages the domain names in Latin America and the Caribbean. ECOMLAC is also part of this team. ECOMLAC focuses on the development of the Internet in Latin America and the Caribbean. We focus on different aspects. In 2015, ECOMLAC launched a new TLD, e.lac, in order to help people in Latin America and the Caribbean to integrate on a regional scale. We also focus on regional fora for the development of the Internet. We also hold a non-for-profit private organization that gathers more than 50 private, multinational, local, and state-run telecommunication agencies in the region, and also LACIX, the Internet Exchange Point, that is the organization created to increase and improve regional interconnectivity. Montevideo is the place where all these organizations get together in a physical space that is one of a kind. It's a place where they get together in order to work for the benefit of the region.
I've had the pleasure of visiting the House of the Internet in Montevideo a couple of times. I grew up in Los Angeles, and the first time I went to Montevideo, I was whisked along bright, wide highways with palm trees and fast cars and a beach next by. And I thought, I'm home. It was really quite a delightful place, a lot of energy and good spirit. It's now my pleasure to introduce another old friend, Dr. Govind, the CEO of the National Internet Exchange of India. He's also the former senior director of India's e-infrastructure and internet governance division within the Department of Electronics and Information Technology, and he's a GAC advisor. He's carrying with him today an important message from India's Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Dr. Govind.
Thank you, Steve, for the kind words, and a very good morning to you all. It's a pleasure to be here in the beautiful city of Buenos Aires for ICANN's 53 meeting. This is the 20th ICANN meeting that I am attending in person, and we are now entering the final stretch of the INA transition process, which is simultaneously one of the biggest challenges and opportunities that ICANN has faced in its nearly 17-year history. This is therefore also an opportune moment for India to articulate its vision for the internet and internet governance. As the world's largest democracy, our vision for internet governance institutions is derived from our experience building robust and effective public institutions. This has helped us succeed as a vibrant parliamentary democracy and gives us a unique voice in governance debates. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to articulate this vision, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Honorable Mr. Ravi Shankar Prasad, India's Minister for Communications and IT, who will be addressing this gathering via a video message. Mr. Prasad is a veteran politician, statesman, and a distinguished Supreme Court lawyer. Over his 15-year parliamentary career, he has held portfolios including information and broadcasting, law and justice. Since its appointment as a Minister for Communications and IT, he has been spearheading the growth of India's telecom and IT sector and is also actively leading the task of developing India into a global electronics manufacturing hub. India is sitting at the cusp of the digital revolution. The flagship program of Digital India, which aims to bring about good governance by extensive use of information technology and internet, is being implemented under his leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you Mr. Ravi Shankar Prasad.
Mr. Steve Cropper, Chairman ICANN, Mr. Fadi Shiadeh, CEO ICANN, Excellencies and my fellow colleagues from various governments, the ICANN community and the larger internet community. Hola, good morning, and warm greetings from India. My special greetings to ICANN on the occasion of ICANN 53 in the beautiful city of Buenos Aires, which takes place at an important moment in time. But for the perennial challenge of balancing my role as a minister and a political leader, I would have loved to be there in person. It is my loss, and I hope to be with all of you on another occasion, details of which my office is exploring with the organizers. However, technology allows me to reach out and share some of my thoughts and those of our government led by our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi. The digital sector is in transition, and this is exemplified through a number of changes that each of us have experienced. The new plurality and dynamism allowed by the breadth and depth of penetration of this medium is allowing millions to participate in policy and politics, economy and society, in a manner inconceivable in the previous century. India today adds 6 million new users every month to its internet users base of over 300 million people. We in India have 1 billion plus phone connections, out of which mobile in itself constitutes approximately 980 million. Indians from the hinterland to the metropolis actively enjoy the far-reaching use of these new gadgets. It is not an item of luxury, but an item of necessity. This access to the digital world is transforming the real world for our people. Entrepreneurs are born every day, not just in the fast-paced cities of Mumbai and Bengaluru, but also in many pockets of Indian villages in the Indian hinterland. Grandmothers are making video conversations with their grandchildren. Villagers are opening online bank accounts for the first time. Students are getting degree through the online education, and social media is spilling over with new voices and opinions. And the governments are more accountable and more responsive as well. Clearly, there is a deep impact of the digital on the real, and the two have merged. This is the first change we see. Phones are considered an extension of our arms today, and the smarter they get, the more efficient we become. Being connected today is considered a virtue in itself, simply for embracing the inevitable. The second change is becoming all too apparent as the internet pivots towards Asia as one of the largest creator and consumers of content for the region. The users in these emerging economies, the next billion who will come online, stand apart from their counterparts in developed economies. They are hungry for knowledge and innovation. They are tailoring what exists today to suit their realities, and they are introducing language and voices and bringing cultures to the global internet, which we were previously sitting in wait offline. The third change, ladies and gentlemen, is the fluidity which has come about with new definitions becoming necessary for territorial jurisdiction. While the role of the state in cyberspace is being defined, the burden of responsibility remains as severe on the state, if not more. New partnership between stakeholders need to be crafted so that the agency of the state can be commensurate to the expectations from it, that is to keep alive endless opportunities to create a level playing field, to protect its critical infrastructure and our freedom and liberties, which most of us hold close to our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, these developments bring to the fore a series of questions to which we must respond. What must be the new contours of governance that will help catalyze this change? How much should governance be reimagined, recreated, and realigned to allow the participation of new voices, new dreams, and new aspirations? The old must cede to the new, and how many of this is to be achieved in a collaborative and cooperative manner to deliver on these digital promises of today and tomorrow. For us in India, ladies and gentlemen, and under the leadership of our Prime Minister, there is no ambiguity in where the solution lies. The only answer to respond to such momentous change is democracy. Pluralism is the only ecosystem that can manage the dynamism this medium demonstrates. India's own transformation to the digital world is being managed through democratic ethos, ingrained in Indian mindset, right from the Indian village panchayat to the broad avenues of its capital and large metros. That is why the Digital India Initiative captures the India story. This story cannot be told through number of phones, laptops, internet connections, and websites alone. India's vision of information technology is not simply IT-enabled services, but IT-enabled societies. It is human being serviced by IT. It is the reimagining of India, a billion people lit up by the light of an information society, powered by their own abilities and creativity. Digital India means giving each Indian voice and weight in every decision we make as a nation. It means giving every Indian a chance to realize his or her dream, regardless of topography, distance, and identity. Digital India, ladies and gentlemen, is designed to bridge the digital divide between digital haves and digital have-nots. It seeks to empower every Indian through digital tools for growth, empowerment, and becoming an active participant in good governance. The Prime Minister of India, Mr. Narendra Modi, has set up a goal that government must be available in the palm of every Indian and available in detail on his mobile phone. To help it achieve, we are involved in a gigantic exercise of broadband revolution in India through BharatNet, where we propose to link 250,000 clusters of villages to fiber and strengthen urban connectivity. All this is designed to upgrade the digital infrastructure, digital delivery of services, and widening the canvas of e-education, e-health, e-commerce, and a host of other services. Our government is committed to make every Indian an active participant in this extraordinary information revolution whose essence is embodied in digital India. Our Prime Minister has entrusted me with the responsibility of ensuring that as India transforms and reorganizes its political and economic landscape, riding on the power of technology and connectivity, we must also simultaneously strive for a global ecosystem that can accommodate such a transformation of India and other nations witnessing similar changes. Ladies and gentlemen, every Indian must have the capacity to participate in global decision-making on how we manage this common resource, and so must every global citizen. Government will, of course, continue to shoulder the central responsibility to secure the networks, the economic interest, lives and property of people as some forces inimical to peace and prosperity of people threaten this future. But they cannot do it alone. Hence, we are determined to forge partnership with like-minded countries and parties that will enable nation states to be effective and proportionate in the response to the emerging threats. But security cannot be for the sake of security. It is not an end to itself, but a means to offer unfettered liberty, limitless collaboration, and the new age of ideas. What is required, ladies and gentlemen, is a multi-layered system to manage this diverse and dynamic medium, keeping in mind the bits and the bytes that bind together to create a whole network of networks. India recognizes that all stakeholders are key, and multi-stakeholderism is perhaps the only way to keep the system integrated, growing and expanding through new innovations and investments. And we desire, if we have ambitions, to retain the integrated and unified character of the Internet, the dynamism of the Internet, we will have to build and maintain plural and diverse governance model. The global must be linked to the local, and local voices must be heard at this debate. Not only do we support multi-stakeholderism, but also we encourage multi-stakeholderism itself to embrace all geographies and all societies. We will partner with you, ladies and gentlemen, all to make this a reality. We must work toward this new form of digital democracy. India is looking to this new global management system for the Internet with a billion expectations. How must we evolve to create organic structures to meet universal objectives and not universal structures for common objectives? The goal of creating an Internet includes the idea of being not only open, but global, secure, and resilient. We propose to all of you that it must be fair, it must be ethical, and it must be equitable. That is why India looks forward to hosting all of you, the stakeholders central to the healthy functioning of the Internet in the near future, to continue the important work you do here and to further discuss how to keep this momentum going. As India adds million users every month, what India does to manage this transformation will have an indelible impact on the global debate. We seek your participation for you to be a part of our story, as we remain committed to share our experiences to shape a global agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, therefore, to conclude, let me restate the Indian vision for the internet. The internet must remain plural, must be managed by a multi-layered and multi-stakeholder system. Its strength will lie in partnership made between like-minded nations and stakeholders, held on a platform which support and will sustain a future of equity and innovation and collaboration and inclusion. Only then truly be able to manage the ecosystem of this new digital age. All this is important because internet is one of the finest inventions of human mind. It must remain the property of all and must be available and accessible to all. Thank you.
Dr. Govind, Minister Prasad, thank you very much. We all applauded at the emphasis on multi-stakeholder and the support for it. A couple of other things that caught my attention. India is for inclusiveness, and it's been a pleasure to watch. I've only been traveling back and forth to India and been engaged in watching the internet activities there for about 20 years, and the transformations are amazing. I also particularly like the idea of holding the government in the palm of your hand. I mentioned earlier that the people who make this strange thing that we call the multi-stakeholder model work are the community members who thanklessly give us their time and their wisdom. Now we'd like to acknowledge just a few of those people. And to do that, I'd like to introduce David Olive, ICANN's Vice President of Policy Development. David, come on up. Fadi, would you join us, please?
Thank you, Steve and Fadi, and good morning to everyone. The ICANN Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award Program was created in 2014 to recognize those ICANN participants who deeply invested in the consensus-based solutions and the importance of ICANN's multi-stakeholder model to internet governance. Because the multi-stakeholder model brings together competing and special interests to work toward a joint goal, it also brings spirited discussions and debate on a range of issues. Because of the presence of so many different opinions and interests within the ICANN policy-making structure, courtesy and cooperation are key to its success. In preparing for the 2015 award, nominations were open to the community last December and lasted for a period of 3 months. At the close of that period, a community evaluation panel consisting of members named by the ICANN supporting organizations and advisory councils convened to discuss the nominees and determine if any of them qualified for receiving the award this year. I would like to give the members of that panel an opportunity to join me on stage. Alan Greenberg from At Large, Olivier Crepin-LeBlanc from At Large, Jung-Un Lee from the CCNSO, Celia Lehrman-Friedman from the CCNSO, Alice Munya from the GAC, Alessandra Erasmu from GAC, Volker Greiman from the GNSO, David Cake from the GNSO, Lyman Chapin from ESSAC, and Robert Guerra from ESSAC. The selection panel evaluated nominations sent to from the community and carefully deliberated each candidate against the criterion. At the conclusion of their deliberations, the selection panel has determined that two ICANN community participants would merit the selection for this year's Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the selection panel for their work and dedication throughout this year and in the selection process. And I now turn the microphone over to Alan Greenberg to announce the award. Alan?
Thank you very much, David. As David mentioned, we selected two people this year, which wasn't something that we were originally planning, but it worked out that way. Both recipients were selected by the evaluation panel in recognition of their very different roles as key players in the ICANN community, with diverse backgrounds, geographic and community impacts. The panel decided to recognize two award recipients this year because we felt that both selectees met the award criteria in such distinctive ways that we should that they should both be recognized as examples to set for others. The two recipients were selected from among 16 nominees, and we believe are the ones who best demonstrate the spirit of consensus, of collaboration with other community build, with other community members, of consensus building, while proving their dedication to the ICANN multi-stakeholder model through their participation over very many years. This year's selectees have contributed to the ICANN community in different ways, not only through one group or constituency, and are therefore well known beyond any single part of ICANN. They are consensus-driven people, and they are committed. And I think you'll see that as we go ahead. I'm pleased to announce that the first winner is Cheryl Langdon Orr. Cheryl is currently the Associate Chair of the NOMCOM, was the Chair of the 2014 Nominating Committee. She served as the Chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee, as the ALAC Liaison to the GNSO and CCNSO, and she served in numerous, and numerous doesn't quite describe it, GNSO, CCNSO, and at-large, at-large and cross-community working groups. Cheryl's commitment in time and energy would be just amazing under any conditions. The fact that she lives in Australia and routinely spends hours on teleconferences in the middle of the night, routinely all of her night, we don't quite know when she sleeps, simply puts all of us to shame. A couple of weeks ago, she was on a call and had to mute it because there was too much background noise. She was in the delivery room where her daughter-in-law was giving birth. And she just had to go on mute for a few minutes, but she didn't leave the call. I give you Cheryl Langdon Orr.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, and I might say compatriots, collaborators and friends, I was terrified when Alan started to do the I had to go on mute story because I was a little worried as to where he was heading with that. But yes, it's true, and I did put it out on social network. There's me meeting my brand new baby, Thea, granddaughter, with the earbud in the ear, and I have my Adobe Connect room running in my pocket. So it is possible. There's no excuse to not be fully engaged in the policy development and work of ICANN. I've been volunteering in one way or another at a high level, at a highly engaged level, since 1969 for various non-government organisations and not-for-profits. For the last 15-ish years, I've dedicated a reasonable amount of my time, spare time, by the way, to ICANN. And this is one of the most rewarding experiences I have had. The pleasure, the joy, the thrust and parry sometimes that I get as a volunteer, and I know so many of you get as a volunteer, working with these wonderful people to the right and left of you, is just represented in a very small way by this award. So as I receive this, and I humbly receive this with great appreciation, I take this as a huge honour. I'd like each and every one of your volunteer people, look to your left, look to your right, take this as your award as well, because without this collaboration, without building consensus in a bottom-up way, we don't function in a multi-stakeholder model. Thank you, one and all. In particular, thank you very much to the panel for even thinking of me.
I'm equally pleased to announce that the second award is going to Nee Quainer. Nee has been recognized by the panel for his historical and current participation in ICANN, being a former member of the Board of Directors from 2000 to 2003, a key player in the 2003 evolution and reform process, a member and leader of many working groups, and most recently the strategic panel on ICANN's public responsibility and the ongoing Global Commission on Internet Governance. Guy was instrumental in establishing AfriNIC and AfNOG, and today continues to serve the stakeholders of the African Internet community. Nee is rightfully often referred to as the father of the Internet in Africa. I've known Nee for about 20 years, but I checked, and it's actually exactly 20 years last Thursday. His dedication to establishing the internet in his home of Ghana and throughout Africa, at many times resulting in significant personal sacrifice, makes me proud to call him a friend. Bring you Nee.
Well, thank you very much. I'd just like to make a few comments as such. To me, this is a testimony that ICANN, in its own way, is international and open. Someone from the developing world can contribute and be recognized by his peers in ICANN. Evidently, the grassroots work at the edge is far from being completed. We would wish to keep ICANN open for the benefit of the next billions yet to be connected to the internet. Thanks to the Ethos Selection Panel for recognizing my contributions. Thanks also to my colleagues who graciously presented my nomination. Thanks to the community and to ICANN, the chairman and CEO, for this honor. Africa thanks you all. Thank you very much.
Two really fine people. It's been a real pleasure. One of the great things about being at ICANN is the range, diversity, and depth, and intensity of commitment that from all parts of the globe. As I mentioned earlier, our CEO, Fadi Shahadi, will be leaving us in March. I'm not going to say a lot today about him, but I will say a little. We're, of course, sorry to see him go. We aren't alone. I've heard from the CEOs of the world's airlines. They were crying. Last year, Fadi traveled 400,000 miles, visiting 17 countries. This year, he's only gone to a dozen so far. Everywhere he goes, Fadi represents ICANN with an elegance and intellect that few others can match. His primary focus with everyone he meets is the person to whom he is listening. Fadi says he learned that respect from his father, and since many of us celebrated Father's Day yesterday, I'll relate one small story. As a young boy, Fadi was once walking with his family in the streets of Beirut. They passed a poor man sitting on a doorstep. The man was dirty, had ripped clothing, no shoes. After they walked past him, Fadi's father told the family he would be right back, headed back around the corner toward the man they had just walked past. When his father returned, he was barefoot. Fadi said it took a little time before he realized that his father had given his shoes to a total stranger. I checked. Fadi's wearing shoes today, but we've caught him without his coat. Where is the coat? No. Please know that we realize, Fadi, what you have given us, which is far more than simply your time. You're truly your father's son. Ladies and gentlemen, ICANN President and CEO, Fadi Shahadi.
I click. It's on the chair next to you. Thanks. Okay. Thank you, Steve. 3 years ago, we started what we call the new season. And as Steve said, I'm with you, and I will continue to be with you to finish this important work. So today I want to be clear that my commitment is firm. I am here, and I will be here. And I, as I told my board, I am available to support this community because we don't come and visit this community and leave. We become part of this family. So thank you for welcoming me for the last 3 years, and I will be with you. But now, let's look at the next year ahead, because we have a lot of work to do. Today, I'm going to focus on three important areas we are focused on. We must continue to improve ICANN, to make sure it is ready for the transition, and we continue to support you, our community, to do your work. And finally, I will cover some topics related to the bonds with our technical community. But first, how do we continue to improve ICANN? Four main areas have been our core focus to get ready for this important transition. First, we must strengthen our multi-stakeholder community and make sure everything we do is driven by that. We must stabilize our operations and make sure they are sustainable for the future. Remain transparent and accountable, and globalize everything we do. Many, many activities are going on in this area. I'm going to focus on a few this morning. Let me start by mentioning the El Route in Argentina. On June 9th of this month, we added an El Route instance in Argentina with our partners at NIC-AR. I want to just remind us what the CEO of NIC-AR said today. One, they have switched to a focused multi-stakeholder national model. Our commendations on that move, that is fantastic. Because multi-stakeholderism is not global, it's also at home, it's local. In fact, it starts at home. So thank you for doing that and for the DNSSEC. And certainly now, as we worked with you to get the El Route instance here this month ahead of this meeting, thank you for your help on that. And we're glad to work with you on it. The second area I want to mention, which you've seen in a beautiful, for me, beautiful 11.5-minute video from the Minister of ICT in India. You know that when we started this journey a few years ago, this community was constantly defending itself from people who believe that the work we do should be elsewhere, should be centralized elsewhere. And we worked very hard to expand the support of multi-stakeholder governance from the G7 to the G20. The G20 represent more than 80% of the population of the world. And today, with India joining this group of countries that openly support the multi-stakeholder model, we increase our ranks significantly. The decision that was made by India is a significant decision. And it was one that was not made in one ministry. It was made by His Excellency Prime Minister Modi in a cabinet meeting that included all the key ministries, including the Foreign Affairs Ministry. So that's a fundamental shift that we should acknowledge. And every one of you during this Buenos Aires meeting, when you meet Dr. Govind or other people from India, please go up to them and congratulate them. Because people like him, who for 20 years kept coming here in the hope that his own country will join, today he can celebrate, and we celebrate with you, Dr. Govind. So congratulations. And now I focus a little bit on some internal planning things. You have accompanied us on a journey to transform our planning system. And we built a world-class planning cycle that included first a 5-year strategy that we built with you, bottom up, never done it, never seen any corporation in the world or country develop an entire strategy bottom up. We did it together. And then we followed for the first time in ICANN's history by building a 5-year operating plan that matches that 5-year strategy, that's also completed with input and work of the whole community that led to that plan. And this year is the first year we complete that semicircle, where we deliver to you a yearly budget built on that 5-year operating plan and linked to the 5-year strategy. That FY16 operating budget, $113 million budget, will be approved in the public session on Thursday, after all of us took your comments and made it a plan of this community. Now, this semicircle is good, but it is no good if we cannot track it and manage it together. It has to be measurable. And so we move to the achievement and progress reporting area. And here we do two things now. One, we've done now for a year, and I want many of you to participate in this more and more to give us feedback, and that's the quarterly stakeholder call. We're using a very similar model that is adopted by first-class corporations around the world. They have shareholder calls. We have stakeholder calls. And these calls occur on a quarterly basis, where we give you a full review of our operations, our financial work, our policy work, so that everyone gets informed at the same time. And we take questions also. So please join us for the next call, which is the 20th of August. Now, today I'm announcing a step further, because it's one thing to have a plan, it's another thing to have key performance indicators that are visible to you so you can check on our progress. So, on August 20th, we will introduce the new ICANN Key Performance Indicator, or KPI, dashboard. This is a public dashboard that you will all be able to go in and look at and work with and check on us. This beta version of the dashboard will look like this. The opening page will have our 5 objectives, which you've set in our strategic plan, and it will show next to each objective how are we doing. Now, let me focus on one to show you. I'll focus on the third one. And when you click on that, you'll be able to see under that objective what are the goals. In this case, the goal is to ensure ICANN's long-term financial accountability, stability, and sustainability. Below that goal are the key performance indicators for that goal. And for each of them, you will see the status of this. If you click on one of them, like the actual reserve fund, you will be able to get actual data, real-time data, on how we're doing with that goal. We will have 22 KPIs to start, and that cover all of our five objectives and all of our goals. I invite you to come and visit this page. Go to ICANN.org/progress, and you will get information on the quarterly stakeholder calls, and you will be able to access that dashboard starting on the 20th of August. And because it's a beta, we're improving it, it's still at the beginning, there will be an area for you to give us feedback and input so we can keep improving this dashboard. Let me go back to other things we're doing. You've heard my announcement a few days ago about energizing our internet technology organization. Our chairman reminded us at the beginning of this meeting that ICANN is a technical organization. And while he may think it's not sexy, our two leaders may not agree with him. These are our two new leaders for the internet technology area. You all know them. Are they here? Are you here, David and Adiel? Please stand up so everybody sees you. And they're sitting next to each other again. Here they are. Please stand up so everybody sees you. Delighted to have this superb team to learn from and to advance the vision of ICANN to enhance the collaboration with our technical community partners, to expand all of our technical exposure, which we need to do more on. And specifically, I want to call out the important role Adiel will play to strengthen the relationship we have with our technical community. Now, I'm going to pause here to make an important point, and I will admit that it took me a little bit of time to completely understand this point. As I was telling the board in the last 2 days, it's taken me almost all these 3 years to get to a point where I feel like all the pieces of ICANN, I understand them now. But I'm leaving. But it takes time. And this particular picture really speaks to a deep understanding that I'm happy to share with you today. ICANN is not responsible and does not run the logical infrastructure of the internet. ICANN does so as an equal partner with our colleagues in the technical operating community. The regional internet registries, the IETF, and ICANN with the IANA department, together with the top-level domain operators, we are all together the community that coordinates and makes sure that this layer of the internet is secure, stable, and resilient. It's no one organization's role to run this. The strength of our model is that we have an interconnected set of organizations that are bound by common principles and by mutual commitments. This is what makes us strong, and this is what will keep us strong after the transition. So let's not forget that. And I wanted to share this important characterization of the technical community that I now fully live and understand, and I invite you to join me in that important understanding. Now, globalization, as the last area I want to touch on, is a project that was very central to my agenda since I began at ICANN. Globalization is a journey. It is not a one-time event. And I'm not naive to believe that simply putting people around the world means we are global. When I was at IBM, we spoke of globalization in three layers, almost three stages. The first stage is the geographical stage, which means you can't say you're global running IBM from Armonk. You need to be all over the world. You need to be present. But that's not sufficient. The next thing you need to do, and today we have people in 30 countries. ICANN has people in 30 countries today. The next thing you have to do is to globalize the way you work, your processes, your systems, your approaches. So today I'm happy to inform you that after a very long year, we have now delivered on the ability of any stakeholder to call a local number in their country and reach ICANN 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. And not just in the UN languages, in all UN languages plus German. We added German, and we'll be adding other languages. and the access locally is with local numbers. And that's now all running from our three hubs. Remember, we built Los Angeles, Singapore, and Istanbul. These hubs are operating these service centers for us around the world. So when a user calls and issues a request in Singapore, if they call again at any time, if the Singapore team is at home with their family, the Istanbul team can answer 24 hours a day. We have people with the same issues on a common system. So that's already in place. The next thing we did was localizing what we do, because a lot of our system has been based on the UN languages, but the reality is there are many people who are internet users who don't use the UN languages. So we started the project with our community to take some of our materials and make them work in local languages. And that project in the Asia-Pacific region, with the great support of our friends in Korea initially, and thank you, South Korea, for your help in helping us figure out how to do this with the community. We now have in this region our materials, our key materials in these languages, and that project is now going to go global. We are deploying it around the world. That means we are getting closer to you, to our community, and we're making sure we bring our materials to you and we listen to you locally as well. Today there will be a session about this project, which will also show other communities how to adopt that toolkit we built. Please do join us for that session. Now, this is what we've been doing and will continue to do to make ICANN ready for the transition. But now I want to talk to you about what's left. What is in the road ahead between now and the transition? First, without question, I join my chairman in recognizing the amazing work you have done to get us to this point. And yesterday, in a joking way, I was telling governments, watch this and go tell your colleagues around the world that the multi-stakeholder model works. It's incredible what you've done. The amount of effort that you've put to get ready for this transition is unprecedented. And it's not just the technical community or just civil society. It's all of us, plus governments, involved in a true bottom-up, massive multi-stakeholder effort. It is unprecedented. And the results are global and real. I want to thank you all for your commitment. When we hear that Cheryl calls from an operating room, I've heard stories about the work that has gone in this. I've heard of someone involved in this work who slept on her keyboard and her head pushed her delete key. And so when she woke up, she had to undelete 200 some messages to get back to continue her work. People have put enormous effort to make this multi-stakeholder effort go, and thank you. Thank you all for this effort. It will be recorded in history. Now, in this last line of work, I propose to you we'll have three phases. The first phase that we're living right now will lead us to the multi-stakeholder community delivering a proposal to the U.S. government. That is an important completion of your work, of our work. Once that proposal is delivered, we go into phase two. Phase two, as Mr. Strickling said yesterday, will last 4 to 5 months. Larry was explaining that during these 4 to 5 months, there will be a period of review, which will involve the community and many members of the U.S. government, at the end of which, Mr. Strickling and NTIA will need to deliver a certification. Now, this is going to become law soon, but it's almost law, that the U.S. Congress will pass a law that Mr. Strickling will need to deliver a certification, confirming two things. One, that the proposal has met the criteria that NTIA has set out to all of us. I think we all know we will meet these criteria. And we will make sure when we deliver the end of phase one that we clarify that we have met these criteria. We hope he will agree with us, but we'll do our part, and I'm sure he will respond accordingly. The second thing Mr. Strickland will do is to confirm that the bylaw changes required from this proposal have been adopted. And therefore, you see that red line at the bottom where the ICANN community and board will work towards implementing the bylaws, towards adopting the bylaws in time before the white line, which is the point NTIA gives Congress a certification letter. Now, after NTIA delivers the certification letter, the law that Congress is right now going to pass requires 30 legislative days during which Congress can also review the certification. 30 legislative days. For those of us who are not close to Washington, these are not 30 weekdays. These are not 30 calendar days. These are 30 days Congress is in session. Typically, it's 45 to 60 days. That's what it is. But again, we don't know because the congressional calendar is not out for 2016. So, this is phase two. At the end of phase two, the review of our proposal is finished. We're done. What's left then would be whatever is left of implementation, which brings me to phase three. Phase three is the phase that will end with the transfer of stewardship from the U.S. government to us. That's when the contract will lapse. Now, leading up to phase three, we're going to start activities of operationalizing and implementing the proposal. Notice that line, the red line, starts kind of sort of now. We're not going to wait till then. And you heard NTIA yesterday clearly say there are three different things that could be implemented. And two of these, and you can go back to the record to read Mr. Strickling's notes, two of these could start now. And we will work together, community and NTIA, to figure out what could start now so we don't wait till phase three to start implementation. And that is a commitment from us. Now, that implementation, when it ends, will get us to this point. Now, all of you, I hope, appreciate these three important phases. The question is, when? Now, it's not for me to decide when or for the board. It's for you. So I have gone and asked our community leaders, our working group leaders, what are your timelines? What are you looking at right now? When will these things be ready? So I'm today going to report to you on the messages I got back from them. The first is that phase one could end in Dublin around ICANN 54. This is important. Phase one could end in Dublin. Now, we may be a week too late, a month late. I think we could work with that, but in general, the community feels that around Dublin, we should be done with phase one. Now, the middle phase is clear. It's 4 to 5 months. And the community is now working to respond to NTIA on the end of phase three. But when I asked our community leaders, based on your plans and what you're seeing and what you know today, when could that finish? The answers that are coming back to us seem to indicate that by ICANN 56, which will be back in Latin America, in the middle of 2016, a year from today, the contract with the U.S. government could come to an end. The only way this will happen is when we deliver on our work. So today, we should not be busy with phase two and phase three. We should be focused on getting phase one done, our work. The end of phase one, I call it a triumph of the multi-stakeholder model. Of course, end of phase three is important, but for us, the part we are all doing together is phase one. So you, us together, we are going to make this phase happen. Let's stay focused. Let's remain confident. Let's remain united so that we can lead this internet to be secure, stable, resilient, but also independent. Thank you.
That's all, folks. We are done. Thank you very much.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the next session begins in this room at 10:30. It's the CWG stewardship session. We look forward to seeing you all here. Thank you.